Welcome to From the Pulpit and Classic Sermons. Each week we bring you a different message from some of history's greatest speakers in the Christian faith, and powerful sermons for modern preachers too. This week we have Reinhard Bonnke with his message, The Adulterous Woman.
I'm going to give you one of the gospel messages tonight. That's what the Lord laid upon my heart, that I've preached already many times, I can say, across the world. But I believe it expresses the gospel clearest. Amen. Do you want to hear it? And after that, after the prayer of salvation, we are going to pray for the sick, and Jesus is here to do mighty miracles. Hallelujah. I agree that the Jesus of Africa is the Jesus of Britain. Hallelujah. There's no African Jesus and there's no British Jesus. There's only one Jesus, and he is one for us all. Hallelujah. And he is not different here than he is there. He is mighty to save and mighty to deliver and mighty to heal. Amen. Let me turn to John chapter 8. It is the story of the adulterous woman. And I'm reading from verse 2. Now early in the morning, Jesus came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." What a wonderful Jesus. I believe the elements of the gospel come here to the fore so clear as in almost no other scripture. It is fantastic. I just want to walk you through this story, but you will be blessed and you will be challenged. And Jesus is here to do a mighty work of salvation. Are you happy? I first have to give you the background why the Pharisees hated Jesus and why they wanted to trap him. It says here that it was early in the morning. Jesus was on his way to the temple. He loved the temple. He went there to teach, to pray, to worship. And as he was walking through the streets of Jerusalem, the people saw him early in the morning, and 1, 2, 3, a big crowd gathered around him because the people loved Jesus, and they said, "Master, teach us, speak to us, preach to us about the kingdom of God." And it says Jesus sat down and taught them. Imagine Jesus being the preacher. Wouldn't that have been wonderful? I sometimes wished I could have just listened in to hear the gospel coming out of his mouth. Fantastic. It was a beautiful meeting. But suddenly, all of a sudden, a terrible noise, let me say from the left side there, a terrible noise, screaming, shouting, a cloud of dust rising. a crowd of people, a group of people approaching, and that cloud of dust coming closer. And the noise increased so much that everybody was looking to that group that was approaching. Jesus had lost his congregation. They were all watching. And when that group had came closer, they could see who they were. They were the top theologians of their days, the Pharisees and the scribes in their long garments. And in their midst, they had a woman. And this woman was not cooperative. And because of it, this holy man kicked her forward into the direction of Jesus. And when that woman landed there on the floor, the oldest Pharisee stood up. There he stood with his long garment, with his sharp eyes, piercing eyes, with his high-pitched voice, and his long gray beard. He said, "Teacher, Jesus, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Now Moses in the law," that's the word of God, "Moses in the law commands that she must be stoned to death. What do you say?" Now that was a trap. And I need to explain to you why this was a trap. The Pharisees hated Jesus for a number of reasons. They hated him because he was more popular than themselves. And you know, jealousy among clergy is not something new today. So they hated him for that. Secondly, they said, "This Jesus claims to be the Messiah. The people say he is the Messiah. He is a deceiver. That cannot be." And they said, "We have good reasons why to reject this claim. Because we saw Jesus walking hand in hand with the biggest sinner of Jericho to that man's house. If Jesus was the Messiah, he could have smelled 10 miles against the wind that that man Zacchaeus was a crook, and he would not have gone hand in hand into his house if he was the Messiah. He is not the Messiah. Besides," they said, "we have seen him breaking the Sabbath. How could the Messiah break the Sabbath? He healed a man on the Sabbath and told him to carry his mattress home. Now that's against the law of Moses. He cannot be the Messiah. We've got to expose him as a deceiver to all of Israel." And so they figured it out. When Jesus is surrounded by a big crowd of people, we will catch somebody in the very act of adultery. That is not very difficult to do. And then we will bring that adulterer to Jesus, and in front of all the people, we will ask him, "Moses says this person must be stoned to death. What do you say?" Now they figured it out like this, that Jesus would say, either he would say, "What do you want, Pharisees? I'm the friend of the sinners. Let this woman go home." If Jesus had said that, the Pharisees would have said, "People of Israel, you've heard it with your own ears. This Jesus is talking against the law of Moses. He cannot be the Messiah." If Jesus would have said the opposite, if Jesus would have said, "Yes, my dear Pharisees, you are absolutely right. This is the law of Moses. Come on, boys, pick up the stones and give it to her," then the Pharisees would have said, well, let me cut it short. The Pharisees would have said, "Even Jesus has got to recognize that we are the rightful keepers of the law." There would have been other implications, but let me cut it short. So it was a trap, because no matter what Jesus would have said, if he would have said, "Stone her or let her go," he was in a fix. And that is exactly what they wanted. Jesus didn't answer so quickly. He stooped down and wrote with his finger on the ground. The Pharisees couldn't wait. They were sure they had trapped Jesus now. So the old Pharisee repeated his question. Teacher, Moses says she must die. What do you say? Then Jesus stood up and he said, he who is without sin among you, throw the first stone at her. That moment, something happened. What is also happening here now? The Holy Spirit touched the lives of all those who were there. He stood that old Pharisee, waiting for the wrong answer to come. He heard, he who is without sin, throw the first stone at her. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit touched that man. Something happened to him. Something happened to him. That's what I believe. That's what the Lord showed to me. I got it from an eyewitness, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Here stood that old Pharisee. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit touched him, and with open eyes, in broad daylight, he had a vision. He saw two tables of stone with the Ten Commandments engraved, 5 plus 5. And he couldn't help but read commandment number one. And after he read commandment number one, a voice rose within him. Guilty! You are guilty! Oh, commandment number two. That terrible voice came up again, shouting loud inside of him. Guilty! You are guilty! Commandment number three. Guilty! Number four. Guilty! Number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Guilty! 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 To the full! An old Pharisee started to perspire. He thought his neighbors had heard that voice that shocked him so much and that had pronounced him guilty. He felt extremely uncomfortable. He looked left. He looked right if they were all watching him. And when he realized they were all busy with themselves, he did this. He picked up his long holy gown, put in the reverse gear, hallelujah, he realized, I dare not throw the first stone. If I throw the first stone, that stone will be like a football. It will hit the woman first, and then it will jump back and hit me. Because I'm also a sinner. There was the second oldest Pharisee. In his ear it also rang. He who is without sin among you, throw the first stone at her. All of a sudden, his mind went back. Just 10 days back, he saw himself in the cottage at the beach, committing the very same sin with the woman he accused this woman of now. And the Holy Spirit in him shouted, guilty! If you throw the first stone, it's going to be like a boomerang. You dare not throw the first stone. You are guilty yourself. What did the holy man do? Picking up his gown, putting in the reverse gear, backing off. And so my Bible says, from the youngest, oldest to the youngest, they all put in the reverse gear. They all were convicted by the Holy Spirit of their own sin. They were all sinners and couldn't judge a sinner. my God. This is the first lesson that Jesus wanted to teach those people. And the Holy Spirit has been teaching all generations and is here to teach it us tonight, that we are all guilty before God. We are all guilty before God. I always wondered, what did Jesus write with his finger in the sand, in the dust? I tell you, he wrote in the dust what the Holy Spirit writes into every human heart. This one word, guilty. Guilty. We are all guilty before the living God. Oh, let me just test you. Is there anybody who can say in, who can stand up in all righteousness and say, I've kept all the commandments all my life until today? Then please wave your hand. Are you waving your hand, mother? Oh no, she's getting some air. Nobody, nobody here? You know, we are all guilty before God. If somebody would have said, I've never committed a sin, I would have said, you are a liar, because the Bible says it. If we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us, we are liars. We are guilty before God. We have broken the commandments of the Lord. We have, all of us. And Jesus writes that into our hearts, guilty, guilty. We are guilty before God. We dare not pick up stones to throw at others. All right. Jesus said, he who is without sin among you, cast the first stone. Now let me ask you a question. How was it that morning in that meeting? Was there nobody without sin? Yes or no? Yes or no? Here sit some educated people. Yes, there was only one without sin. And his name was Jesus. His name was Jesus. Say amen. The Bible says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us. The Bible speaks of him as the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God that died for our sins. If there had been one blemish in Jesus, he would not have qualified to die for us. But he was and is the Holy Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus had the right to pick the first stone and throw it into the face of that woman. He could have thrown the stones into the faces of these Pharisees. He could have thrown the stones into your faces and into my face, because we are all sinners and come short of the glory of God. But he didn't do it. Now let me turn to the woman for a few moments. When the woman was arrested by the temple police, by those Pharisees and by those scribes, the Bible says, in the very act of adultery, that woman, when they grabbed her, she looked around into the eyes of these men that just were arresting her, and she said, I think I know you all. She felt, you are not better than myself. You have no right to judge me. She resisted. That's why she didn't cooperate. That's why they had to kick her. I'm puzzled. I've got a couple of questions. I mean, you know, maybe just one question I would just like to mention here. You know, a woman can do many, many things. But there's one thing a woman can never, 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 ever do. No woman can commit adultery all by herself. So my question is, what happened to the man? Who was he? I have a sneaking suspicion. I think the man was a Pharisee. Never trust a hypocrite, not even in a holy gown. Never trust a hypocrite. That's why she resisted, but she had no option. They kicked her forward. And how? They wanted to kick her into the grave. They wanted to kick her to death. Because Moses, the law of Moses, was stipulating it. And when that woman arrived at Jesus' place, she fell on her knees. And just for a split of a second, she looked into his eyes and she got the shock of her life. For the first time in her life, she saw pure eyes, sinless eyes. And she started shaking. She started shaking. The Holy Spirit was there. She started shaking. And she said, if someone can judge me and condemn me and execute me, it's this Jesus. It is Jesus. And she fell on her face, weeping. Then she heard the first question of the chief Pharisee. Teacher, Moses says she must die. What do you say? Almost genuine, huh? That woman, I think so. I think so because I know people. I think she was so mixed up and she was so confused. She didn't hear the first part of the reply of Jesus. The woman didn't hear when Jesus said, he who is without sin among you. She only heard the second part when he said, cast the first stone at her. The woman put her arms over her head and she started to cry. Yes, yes. Yes, I have deserved stones. I am a sinner. I am a sinful woman. Yes, come throw the stones quickly. Why do you wait so long? Don't torment me so long. I have deserved them. Let the stones come. I have deserved them. When the stones did not come, she dared to look up. And when she looked up, Jesus looked at her. And Jesus said, where are your accusers, woman? She looked around. He said, has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord, no one. And then Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go in peace and sin no more. Say amen. Hallelujah. That moment, I'm absolutely sure the heart of Jesus broke open and the heart of that woman opened. And you know, the love of Jesus was flowing from his heart into her heart. For the first time, she knew what love was, real love. That what she had called love before hadn't been love at all. It was rottenness and it was death and it was bondage. Now she tasted the love of all loves, the love of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Her chains fell off. Her heart set free. She rose, went forth, and followed him. Amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. What a wonderful Jesus we have. I say again, yes, I preach about sin. I have to, otherwise you can't preach about salvation. We are sinners. Let's not pretend. And we come short of the glory of God. But that's the very reason why Jesus came. Say amen. Hallelujah. Now, I've got one more point, but it's the best one. Are you ready? If you don't enjoy my preaching, I enjoy it myself. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Listen, this is amazing. Some theologians say John chapter 8 is a problem text. They say it's a problem text. They say the Pharisees spoke the truth. It is written in my Bible and blow the dust off yours. It's written in your Bible. In Leviticus 20 verse 10, it says that a man or a woman who commit adultery must be stoned to death. And these people say the problem is that Jesus actually was obliged to act on Leviticus and do what the word of God commanded him to do. He should have done it. Jesus should have executed this woman in order to fulfill the word of God. Now, these theologians should go back to Bible school. Who say that? I'll tell you why. I want you to know why Jesus didn't pick up stones to execute that woman. Do you want to know? Listen, this is the heart of the gospel. It's the heart of the heart of the gospel. It's the center focus of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what I'm telling you now. Why didn't Jesus stoop down to pick up boulders and throw them into the face of that woman and the faces of these hypocrites? He didn't execute that woman. He didn't stoop down to pick up stones with his hands because at that moment he was already on his way to Calvary to be executed on behalf of that woman. Hallelujah. Jesus took her curse, put it on him. Her death sentence he took from her, put it on him, walked to the cross, died in her stead, died for me, died for you, died for us all. Hallelujah. Jesus died for us that we may live. We don't throw stones. We invite sinners to come because Jesus said he didn't come to condemn sinners, he came to save them. Neither did he come to shame sinners, he came to save sinners. That is Jesus. This wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, no matter what your sin is, Jesus is here to forgive you. You will go home tonight with peace because he takes your curse. He takes your chains, your bondage, all the chains and compulsions that bind you. And you will go home and you will no more need all that rubbish and all that garbage that you have collected there. Jesus sets free from the chains of Satan and from evil addictions. Say amen. He sets free from alcoholism, from drug addiction. Jesus has the power to set you free in 1 second from heroin. And when you go home, after having found this wonderful and glorious Jesus, you'll get all your porn videos. You need them no more. You will throw them all out. You will burn them. Hallelujah. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. New creations have new appetites. No more unholy, but holy appetites. Say amen. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Now, let me say this. Here may be some young people, and you say, preacher, this message is not for me. I never had anything to do with adultery. Well, that's wonderful. Keep it up. But you may be wives, they say, this message is not for me. I was faithful to my husband without a fail. Excellent. Keep it up. Husbands, keep it up. But I want you to know one thing, and that is a principle in Scripture, and that's why I'm not getting tired to say it. You can have forgiveness for your biggest sin, but you need forgiveness for your smallest sin. With God, the point is not whether you have now committed 9,999 sins or only 99 sins. The truth is, we are sinners and we need salvation. And if I should just be a very small sinner, that small sin, if it is not forgiven and washed in the blood of Jesus, is enough to send me to hell. I want to say to anyone who thinks, I am not a sinner because I have killed nobody and I robbed no bank, I tell you, you need Jesus as much as the biggest sinner in the world. We all need Jesus. There is no salvation, no eternal life without Jesus Christ. Is that clear? Amen? Hallelujah. Those Pharisees, when they got hold of that woman, I mean, they really kicked her. That was the introduction to the stoning. And you know what struck me all of a sudden? These men meant to kick her into the grave. And just by accident, they kicked that woman to the only Savior between heaven and earth. Isn't that marvelous? Hallelujah! I mean, she never had planned to attend a crusade with Jesus as the preacher. And here these men kicked her right into his arms. Is that wonderful? I must confess, I sometimes feel like kicking too. Some people are so stubborn. They don't want to come to Jesus. But I kick nobody, because nobody is going to be kidnapped to heaven. In heaven will only be volunteers. Amen? You must come yourself. Come to Jesus, ask him to forgive you. He will accept you, because he has said, he who comes to me, or she who comes to me, I will under no circumstances refuse. This is the guarantee that if you come, you're welcome. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No, we don't kick people. But I would like to put my arm around you. And I want to say, you're so miserable anyway. Why don't you want to come and receive Jesus? Jesus will wash your sins away. He'll break every chain. He'll remove all the torture of fear. He'll remove all those evil perversions or whatever it may be. Jesus is here to set you free and to turn you into a new man, into a new woman, a new boy, a new girl. Say amen. One more thing. You know, an evangelist always has three endings. One more thing. Let me talk once more about the Pharisees, because that sums it all up. When the Pharisees picked up their holy garments and put in the reverse gear, they made the mistake of all mistakes. They made the greatest mistake a human being can make. If you marry the wrong woman, it's a very big mistake, but it's not the worst. If you marry the wrong man, it's a big mistake, it's not the worst. But if you miss Jesus, if you miss Jesus, you have decided your destiny for time and eternity is decided. That's why we preach and say, come to Jesus. And you will find salvation here. And we will meet in the New Jerusalem. One day, what a day that will be. What a wonderful day. Now listen. I cannot imagine what a terrible mistake that was. These men, when the Holy Spirit convicted them of their sin, telling them, you are sinners, you are sinners, you are also sinners, not only that woman, they put in the reverse gear. Oh my God, so close to the only Savior, so close to the gate of salvation, so close to Jesus, the only Savior, and just because of pride. What make my colleagues think? They're all like a choir put in the reverse gear together. My God, have mercy. I thought, if I may say so, if I had been there that day, please bear with me if I say it, but I mean it with all of my heart. Instead of walking backwards, I would have rushed forward. I would have knelt right next to that woman there. I would have lifted my hands and I would have said, Lord Jesus, I did not commit adultery. But Lord Jesus, my heart is also full of sin and I need forgiveness. I need forgiveness myself. Oh Lord Jesus, please save me as well. It is so easy to be a hypocrite because somebody is next to you or behind you or before you. You don't want to think that he may or she may think you are a sinner. I want to urge you in the name of Jesus, kneel next to that woman where hundreds of millions have knelt already. Jesus took their curses away and put salvation into their lives. He will say to you, go home with peace, because he will take your burdens, he will take all curses, he will take all torments, he will take it away, and he will send you home with his peace. What a wonderful Savior! What a wonderful Jesus! Say amen. So easy to be a hypocrite. Nothing is easier than to be a hypocrite. I'm challenging you, young or old, no matter what status you have in society, rich or poor, you need Jesus, and you need him now, because today is the day of salvation. We don't know whether we live tomorrow. This day is our opportunity. That's why we must come right now in Jesus' name. Say amen. Amen. I was preaching in a big crusade meeting. In those days, we still called those who wanted to receive salvation forward. I never forget this. I've got witnesses here. And there came a big crowd of people standing here wanting to receive Jesus as their Savior. And he was, it was in Africa. He was standing, a young man. I think he was about 20 years of age. He looked at me like this. I led them in the prayer of salvation. I said, close your eyes. Let's call on the name of Jesus for salvation. When I opened my eyes, I looked for him. I couldn't see him anymore. I thought, what happened to him? When I looked again, oh, he was on the floor. I thought he was under the power. He wasn't under the power. He was dead. Wow. I said, how can this be? How can this be? It's impossible. We want to raise him from the dead. We prayed and prayed and prayed, but he didn't wake up. And I was so distressed. I said, Lord, how can this happen in my meeting? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, that young man, 3 seconds before his clock, his time was up, stepped across the threshold into the arms of Jesus. Young people normally think, oh, I'm 20, I'm still going to live 60 more years. Then I can think about getting saved. I want you to know one thing. When we think of our lifespan, the border to eternity is never ahead of us. Never, never. It's a mistake. The border to eternity is always running parallel to life. Always parallel to life, and it can be crossed over any day. Whether old or young, it doesn't matter. It can be crossed over any day. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And I say to every young person, the youngest and the oldest, come on, get right with God. And you backslider, you better come and slide back to Jesus. Jesus is not here to condemn you. He's here to save you, and he will wash you from all impurities, all these vile lusts. This Jesus called his generation an adulterous generation. If ever a generation has been adulterous, it's this generation. But Jesus is here to save, as he was then there to save. He is our glorious and wonderful Savior. Say amen. Hallelujah. This is the heart of the gospel. Somebody died in my place. Somebody died in your place. And if you come to him, he will give you eternal life. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Don't, please, I beg you, don't be a hypocrite. Don't walk out and you know your heart condemns you. Come and make right with God. Receive him as your Savior, and he will put his hand upon you, and your life will change. Amen. He forgives you. Let's close our eyes in the presence of the Lord. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that is here. Lord, we have been touched by the gospel, the word of God. I pray, O Lord, that nobody may be hypocritical here. That nobody may fear man more than God. I pray, O Lord, that we may come to you just as we are. I pray, O Lord, that there may be nobody who pretends to be a Christian, but actually is not. I pray, O Lord, that you may forgive sins, that you may break chains, that you will set people free from all that what binds them. While all our eyes are closed, I want to ask, who is here this evening? You want to say, Lord, I want to kneel next to that woman. And I want to receive forgiveness of my sins. I want Jesus to save me. Or you say, I'm a backslider. I want to come back to Jesus. I want Jesus to save me now. I'm not going to leave because I'm going to kneel next to that woman in Jesus' name. If you want Jesus to forgive your sins, then just lift your hands. Give Jesus a sign. Just lift your hand as a sign. Come on, lift up your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, let Jesus see your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God, praise God. Come on. Thank you, thank you. Glory to God. Wave your hand that I can see it better. Just wave. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance. You are now really causing a riot in heaven, a riot of joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's room at the cross for you. It's my greatest privilege to pray for you and with you. Let's all stand, please. And all those who lifted their hands and want Jesus to forgive their sins, you want Jesus to forgive your sins, come forward quickly. Come forward. We are going to pray here and Jesus will meet you here. You will go home free, forgiven, renewed, saved. Hallelujah. The gate is not closing. You may still come, even while I talk. You are so welcome. I tell you, it's my greatest privilege in life. And the decision you take now that have responded is the greatest decision you have ever made in time and eternity. And that you have come forward is a mighty courageous act. But you've come to Jesus, not to a man. He loves you. He loved you enough to die for you. He loved you enough to take your curse and give you eternal life and a new heart, a pure heart, and a clean life. We are not going to call on the name of Jesus because the Bible says, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when we do that, we will be saved because God is not a man that he should lie. Amen. Just bring your heart to Jesus, your sinful heart. Just give it to Jesus and say, Lord, I have deserved judgment because I am guilty. I've broken your commandments. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against people. I've sinned against myself. Lord, save me now, and he will do it. And then something glorious happens. The blood of Jesus becomes efficacious, and it washes all your sins away. And you will not just be cleansed, but the Bible speaks about being justified by faith. It means God will justify you, and he looks upon you as if you had never sinned. That is the glory of salvation. We are now going to call on the name of Jesus. As Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm asking everybody just to lift your hands to heaven, close your eyes. I want you here in front to repeat this prayer after me. And I want everybody, wherever you are, to support those who pray it here in front. We will pray it together, loud and clear. The main thing is, this is not a formula for salvation. You just cry from the bottom of your heart and mean every word. And I tell you, Jesus is here to put his arms around you. And he will send you home with peace tonight. And when you come home, you can close the pharmacy in your bathroom. You will sleep without those sleeping pills and without that tranquilizer. Hallelujah, because the peace of God passes all understanding. Are you ready to call on the name of Jesus? Let us pray. Say, dear Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you just as I am. Like that woman of old, I am a sinner. I am guilty before you. But Lord Jesus, I heard that you love me, that you paid the price for my salvation. Lord Jesus Christ, I repent of my sins. I turn away from evil. Wash me now with your precious blood. Wash me from all my sins. Wash my heart. Wash my mind. Wash my whole being with your precious, precious blood that you shed for me on the cross. Lord Jesus, I now put my faith in you. I now believe with my heart what I speak with my mouth. Jesus Christ is now my Savior. He has broken all my chains. My sins are forgiven. I am a child of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I now belong to you all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the name of Jesus. I believe it. I receive it. I confess it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the river of your mercy that is flowing here in front. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I exercise the authority that you have given us. In the name of Jesus, I break every chain. In the name of Jesus, I break all compulsions. In the name of Jesus, I cast out any troubling spirit. In the name of Jesus, we have every authority to exercise this right. And in the name of Jesus, all power of Satan is broken. And there will be peace like a river in your soul and in your marriage and in your home and in your family. In Jesus' name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, lay your mighty hand upon these men and women, these boys and girls. And I pray, O Lord, that filled with the Holy Spirit, they may serve you with all their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Just as much as Jesus is the Savior, Jesus is the healer. Do you believe that? Amen. His anointing is here to break the yoke. And also the yoke of sickness. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. 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 Korabashi borololo vosua. Somebody's being healed. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me. Somebody's being healed from brittleness of bone. Brittleness of bone. Amen. Who suffers from that condition? See, somebody suffering from that condition. That man there. God is going to heal you. Brittleness of bone. Come here. I'm going to lay my hands on you. The power of God is going to heal you. Your bones will not break again. Jesus will cure that deficiency. Just remain here. Anybody else with that condition? Brittleness of bone. You, madam. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. I was in a gigantic meeting and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me and said, that was in Australia. The Lord said to me, that woman over there in that wheelchair with the white jersey, she will be healed today. Only this condition. Only this condition now. We'll pray for the rest otherwise. Brittleness of bone. Okay. Well, let me tell you what happened. I stood up and I said, lady, today you're going to be healed. I didn't know her name. I had never been in that city before. I knew nothing. I said, the Lord told me you're going to be healed today. And she did this. I thought, oh my God, she doesn't even believe it. I preached, made the altar call. I said, now the time has come. I will come down and lay my hands on that lady there. And when I went down, national television arrived. And the cameras were running with me to that lady. I said to her, what is your condition? She said to me, I'll never walk in my life again. A young woman, never walk in my life again. Brittleness of bone, she said. I never walk in my life again. I cannot walk. I said, I will lay hands on you. I will pray with you. And you will stand up in Jesus' name. I laid my hands on her, prayed for her. I said, stand up in Jesus' name. She didn't want to. I said, stand up in Jesus' name. Slowly she got up out of her wheelchair and suddenly she jumped and ran through that hall. The place exploded. And the television camera running after her. Totally healed, totally, totally healed. The TV people took her address. Next day they went to her home and they had the camera running when she opened. She opened without a crutch, without a wheelchair. The wheelchair was there in a corner. She was totally, completely healed. I met her 3 years later. She was totally, completely healed. She said, I was for the first time in such a meeting when you said I would be healed. She said, I was frightened to death. But Jesus frightens us to life. Say amen. I mean, it shocked her. It knocked her. And my Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus is the same, then he mustn't just say the same. He must also do the same. Some people, they all home in on the saying thing. Yes, the word of God is the same, but he no more heals the sick. I tell you, that is wrong. If Jesus is the same, he doesn't just say the same what he did 2,000 years ago, what he said 2,000 years ago. He does the same what he did then. I'm going to lay my hands on these people here, and the power of God is going to touch them. I believe you're going to be healed from that evil, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Stretch your hand forward to these dear people. And after that, we are going to continue. Don't be in a hurry. The power of God is here. Lord, I thank you that you have singled out these people here tonight. You know all their tears. You know all their fears. You know all their torments. But you have come to set them free and to heal them. And I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes they will be healed. This very moment, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, just praise the Lord. Come on, keep on praising the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Jesus is the hope for the hopeless. The Savior of the lost, the healer of the sick. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus.
You've been listening to the From the Pulpit and Classic Sermon series. This week you heard Reinhard Bonnke with his message, The Adulterous Woman. Tune in next week to hear Brian Long talk about the church that will stand in the coming storm on From the Pulpit and Classic Sermons.